Welcome back, everybody, to the Cult Classic Podcast. Cameron Jones here, along with my co-host,
Mark Nussel.
Jordan Bones.
There it is. There he is. The last one of the season. We gave you a little fun. We're going to give you a little spooky now. We're continuing on from our episode from last year, 2 years ago, who knows, with John Carpenter's Halloween 2. Continuing right after the conclusion of John Carpenter's Halloween, Laurie is the sole survivor of a terrifying Halloween night in which all of her friends were killed by the escaped mental patient, Michael Myers, who is still on the loose. With Dr. Loomis on the prowl for pure evil with local police, Laurie is admitted to Haddonfield Memorial Hospital, where her night of terror is far from over. As Michael Myers stabs and slashes his way through the hospital staff, will Laurie be able to escape another encounter with the Boogeyman? Halloween 2.
Directed by Rick Rosenthal, starring Jamie Lee Curtis, Donald Pleasance, Charles Cyphers, Pamela Susan Shoup, and Lance Guest.
It's a continuation of Halloween 1. Seems very similar, just higher budget, better lighting, better camera work. It's got a lot of Loomis. If you're a Loomis fan, if you like Halloween 1, there's a good chance you like Halloween 2, if not any other in the series. Halloween 2.
Okie dokie, cast and crew. 1981, this one's directed by Rick Rosenthal. Brought you Halloween Resurrection.
Yeah, I knew we came back to do another
one. Went back to do another one. I think that's...
Which one's Resurrection in this series, you know?
That's eight.
Okay.
It's eight.
How many are there, not counting the new? I guess counting all of them.
So, eight...
I say you count everything except Rob Zombie. That's kind of like its own thing.
I think it's like 11 or 12.
Damn.
Jesus.
Still.
You ever go to space? You ever go to space?
I don't think so.
All right. Give not yet. Time.
Or Manhattan.
Still writer John Carpenter and Deborah Hill. Deborah Hill, writer and producer known for Escape from LA and The Fog.
So fun 80s horror action stuff, yeah.
So I was kind of looking through. I wanted to see... where John Carpenter and Deborah Hill kind of were affiliated with all the films. So they're affiliated with 1, 2, 5, The Revenge of Michael Myers, 6, The Curse of Michael Myers.
Those two are 6 in particular is, I remember, being a little more fun. Okay.
7, H2O.
Okay. So everything but 3 and 4.
Yeah, they skip 3 and 4. It looks like 8, Resurrection, 9 is the Rob Zombie one. They I guess they're probably just a adaptation. I don't know if they've worked with them. Probably not. And then the new ones, Halloween 18, Halloween Kills, Halloween Ends.
Not my favorites, but God, I'll get to it later.
I like the new ones, I think.
The first one really lost me with Evil Dies Tonight. The last one was a bit of it. We'll get to it when we get to it.
You mean the Purge, that little Purge moment? Mm-hmm. Yeah, did a little Purge in the middle of that.
And then music by John Carpenter, obviously.
John Carpenter.
And Alan Howarth. He did Big Trouble in Little China and Escape from New York, so worked with John Carpenter before. I like the second, the first like motif in the first movie is like that real piano-y one.
Right.
This kind of adds some like synthy stuff. I don't know.
It kind of definitely gets some beats.
More 80s.
I'll say though, the like just musical synth. I don't. It's not music, but it's like a scare moment. I'm like, there's a lot more of those in this one.
Like the first one's 78. This is 81. You can tell we found the synth. John found the synth.
You guys just wait. When we get to, I think, 4 or 5, we have two doofus cops, and we literally get boing and like whoop when they like have. We have that shit in like 2 more movies. So
it's getting a little bit ahead. But when Michael Myers does like the jump kill. He just jumps out from essentially like
one of those.
That one.
Or even when when he's like gets shot in like the eye or stabbed in the eye, like whoosh, he's like slashing around, just like this.
That's one of the best parts of the movie. I think he could just stay in there all night if you shut the door. He could chop around forever.
Oh, shit. On to the cast. Jamie Lee Curtis once again plays Laurie Strode.
I mean, of course, the first one, but also most importantly, Freaky Friday with Lindsay Lohan.
You know, it's changed from when we, did the first Halloween and probably Knives Out.
What's that?
Academy Award winning.
Oh, true.
winner, Jamie Lee
Curtis. I was going to mention, I don't think we mentioned that. What did she win?
She won Best Supporting Actress for Everything, Everywhere, All at Once.
Yeah. We did Halloween 1, I was looking back, 2019. So it's Knives Out has come out before then, between now and then. So good to mention. Donald Pleasance comes back to play Sam Loomis. He's in like all of them, right? Except for a cut, like...
Until he dies in like five. Yeah.
Okay, yeah. He's like... He's definitely a constant variable that we always see.
Which, I'll be honest, I got a question from this one.
Yeah. Well, we'll get to it. We'll get to it.
Yeah.
We probably mentioned it before, but The Great Escape is what I kind of is the other film that I'm.
These are the two. So. Yeah, that I know really.
Mm-hmm.
Charles Cyphers plays Lee Brackett. Is he a sheriff?
Yeah, he's a sheriff. He's in the first one too, right? His daughter dies. One.
Also in The Fog. The EMTs are played by Lance Guest, plays Jimmy. He's Michael Brody in Jaws 4, The Revenge.
Yeah, funny enough, and I just watched Jaws 2, The Revenge.
Is that the Dennis Quaid one?
No, that one's...
Is that 3?
3D, because that's Jaws 3D. Okay. Funny enough, just watched Jaws 2, though, your favorite, just because...
I like Jaws 2, I don't know why.
The whole, like, all the Jaws are up on Netflix for, like, Halloween movies, so I randomly just did it, but I don't agree.
Like Jaws 1 and 2, yeah.
Those are
they're not
summer movies. They're summer scares.
Yeah, they are summer movies. Speaking of Jaws, Graham the coroner, who is only in this only in the movie for like maybe 1 minute total. He's in Jaws 1, Jaws 2, and he's the motorist in Clue. Jeffrey Crane.
I thought you were about to say and Jaws 3. I'm like, God damn! Either this guy survives each movie, or they just keep bringing him back as a new character.
Gary Hunt, the blonde cop.
Mm-hmm.
Is that Annie's dad?
The one with the deep voice, that one?
Mr. Hunter, or Hunter Van Leer is his name here.
I hope it's that one, because my recasting's really banking on it.
he's in a Mel Brooks movie that I'm surprised we haven't done yet, High Anxiety, and then also in History of the World Part 1.
I've never seen High Anxiety, actually. He might be a guard in History of the World, I can't remember exactly.
I think so, right.
I can picture it, yeah.
Dick Warlock plays the Shape, or Michael Myers, underneath the mask, if you will.
It's a different Michael Myers than the first one. We will get to that in Unverified.
Dick Warlock is just a stuntman. He did stunts for The Thing, Interspace, Firestarter, Escape from New York, the original Spider-Man.
You hear that, Dick Warlock?
Tobey Maguire.
You're just a stuntman.
Casino, Robin Hood, Men in Tights, Child's Play 2 and 3.
Oh,
what stuntman?
Quite a roster.
Stuntman, yeah. Mrs. Alves is the head nurse. This mm-hmm. is just worth kind of just a, the rest of these are just kind of silly and funny. Gloria Gifford, she is one of the security guards in Spinal Tap who waves the wand at Harry Shearer and finds the, the cucumber. So I thought that was kind of funny.
Nice.
There is a very small, I wouldn't even call it a cameo. It's not, you couldn't. It's Dana Carvey is the one of the producer's assistants, like one of the news reporter's assistants.
Oh.
Dana Carvey.
Interesting.
It's like the back of his head.
Never even heard that mm-hmm. fact. Weird.
Yeah.
Mm-mm.
And that's really all I have.
And we can move it on.
There's three main characters. Yeah.
At least I hope for our recasting that we'll get to. We didn't go too deep. Well, on that note, do you guys want to move it on to Unverified? Welcome to the Cold Classic Movie Phone. It's October 30th, 1981, and currently in theaters you could have seen War of the Worlds, just one of many adaptations.
October 30th, okay.
Good release date.
So we're right there.
Good release date.
Nice, good release date.
Shock Treatment. You're going to find a lot of these are scary movies for October. Looker. Blood Wedding. The Pit. One we recognize. The Evil Dead, original, obviously. Go back and see that.
Yeah. Go back and check out our Evil Dead.
My Dinner with Andre. That's the one I only know through Waiting for Guffman.
Okay.
Full Moon High. Seems like a different Teen Wolf. But you saw Halloween 2. I'm going to shoot you straight. I only know of one of those movies, but
I like that the theater was full of Halloween options in October. That's kind of nice.
Yeah.
And like,
those days are done.
Yeah, and there were a bunch more in there actually too that they all kind of seem like campy horror movies. So that's fun.
Now, I guess at the jump, I did say good release date, but is it giving it enough time to really like to really simmer and get the whole?
No.
Like, it,
not, probably no. On October 10th.
10th or something. Yeah, something around there.
Something a little earlier, but I'm happy it's in October at least. At least they tried. They were trying to get it on the day. That's pretty
I like its novelty, though.
Yeah. That's fun.
Don't you? Budget was $2.5 million.
You don't happen to know the budget of the first one, do you? Because it is, I mean,
I do. I do. I looked it up. That was about $300 to $325.
Yeah. Oh, wow. Pretty big jump.
The first one boxed $70 million at the box office. This one, the second one, was only $25
Where are million. You seeing the budget Ooh. Difference, Cameron?
What?
Where are you seeing the budget difference? Like the
cameras, it's in lighting. It's in lighting.
Yeah. It's in like so many more sets.
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, the whole hospital seems like more budget.
I mean,
vehicles, extras is where I see it a lot.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. I mean, just the wider scape too. We'll get to it in the next one, but in the
lighting
next category.
Lighting is actually a good point.
But I mean, once again, it does just feel like a kind of a continuation of one, just with a little more money. We mentioned that Dick Warlock took over for Michael Myers, The Shape. This was because the original Nick Castle was busy. He actually started up his own either production company, I think, or he was directing. But how Dick Warlock got the job, apparently he saw the Michael Myers sitting on a table in the set and he just put it on and walked into Rick Rosenthal's office and stood there and didn't respond as he was continuously asking, "Who are you? What are you doing in here?" And that's how he got the role.
It's like Annie's death.
Oh, come on, man.
Yeah.
Whatever his name is.
Essentially, he just did that.
The film is set immediately after the first Halloween, since Jamie Lee Curtis had begun to wear a much shorter hairstyle in the 80s. She had to wear a wig that matched her original hairstyle for the film. Couldn't tell.
Yeah, couldn't really tell.
Pretty good wig.
To me.
Hair is so bad in the late 70s.
Yeah, yeah, I was about to say. Her hair in the first movie doesn't look good. It looks fried.
It looks like a wig, too. It's the driest decade in all of American history.
Question to you guys. Do you think it's the same or a different mask from the first movie?
I'm sure it's different.
Fun fact, this is the only movie that is the exact same mask from one. It looks different, though, because Nick Castle put it in his back pocket, folded up a lot during shooting, so some of the white paint they put on it chipped away. And number two, Deborah Hill kept the mask under her bed for several years until Halloween 2, and she was a heavy smoker, so it absorbed a yellow hue. So they tried to recolor it.
Why did she do that?
They just didn't care about
it.
She
kept it like a baseball mitt? She was
also
trying to work
weird.
It in like a baseball mitt?
And so on top of that, it is the same mask, but a lot of people said that this Michael Myers looked different, but that's because Dick Warlock is shorter and stockier than Nick Castle, so the mask just fit him a little differently is the main thing we're seeing. So it's a slight color issue. She's a little yellow, and it's a little whiter than it was in the first movie.
The further Reeks along you go, these new masks, they got too much character, you know what I mean?
Oh, yeah, there's a lot of complaints about that. I have another fact about that somewhere, but a lot of people hate the new look.
I don't hate it. I'm just saying it's a lot more character.
This is the only Halloween film to show the morning after the 31st. Every other movie ends on Halloween night.
Oh, sure does. And what song does it end with? They bookmark it with
Sandman.
Yeah, with Sandman. I believe that comes
Sandman.
That comes back in something else, like Resurrection or something. I can't remember.
Yes,
what.
It does. You're right. Hold on. I think I have it here. Yep. The film was bookended by the song "Mr. Sandman," sung by the Cordettes. The tune would also later be used in the Halloween movie Halloween H2O. 20
nice.
Years later.
Nice. You guys want to hear some pettiness?
Yeah.
So first off, I do have a bigger fact on this earlier, but John Carpenter and Deborah Hill really didn't want to be involved with this initially until enough money and points were involved. I'll have more facts on that later. But John Carpenter ended up directing different scenes and extensions because he didn't like Rick Rosenthal's first version of the film, believing it to be too scary. Rosenthal was also trying to keep it a lot more like Halloween 1, and he wasn't showing a lot of the stabs and the blood. So it was actually John Carpenter that went back and reshot more gore because he was afraid that with like the 80s slasher as it was going now with their gore factor, that it wouldn't be competitive unless they showed more nudity and showed more blood. So all those choices were actually Carpenter on this movie. During this time, also because Halloween 1 has a bit of a short runtime, he ended up shooting extended scenes for Halloween 1 to be repurposed into the television version of it. And I don't know what those scenes would have been, because, I mean, everyone other than Laurie would have moved on, essentially.
Let us know in the comments.
Oh, this is kind of actually more pettiness, too.
Bring it
this
on.
This is according to Dick Warlock. Deborah Hill was on set throughout the shoot, including his stalking scenes. At one point, he asked her about how the walk was and how he was doing. She's like, it's fine. Keep doing that. After the release of the film, she said in an interview that he walked too slow and didn't resemble Nick Castle's portrayal at all. This angered Warlock immensely, as he felt while present during the shoot, she could have easily voiced her opinion. Like, why was she so vague? Why didn't she say something?
Fun fact on that fact, I found four other facts stating the exact same thing, so Warlock is not happy.
Yeah, I wouldn't be either. Like, he asked, like, anything else you'd like to change? Nah, it's fine.
Yeah, and then it's fine.
And then fucking complains afterwards?
Weird.
I guess just based off that information, I'm Team Warlock on that one.
Team Warlock all the way.
Just Robin give Hood. Me the note.
Keeping that petty train going, John Carpenter originally turned down to direct, as he had no desire to become involved in the project whatsoever. But several of his friends convinced him to get in some capacity so that he could earn some money on the back end, like a producer. He also liked the fact that he could give a new director a chance to make a movie, much as he had the chance to make Halloween 1. But like I said, he ended up producing and writing the screenplay, and then also doing those reshoots later. Also, John Carpenter said the only thing that got him through this movie was a six-pack of Budweiser every night. Apparently,
I've had just one six-pack.
He did not like the process. And I know they went through many different versions of the write and the script, but I kind of just read that.
So he felt underpaid and just wanted to just hopped on this to kind of recoup some money and some beer.
John Carpenter and Deborah Hill never really wanted a continuation. I mean, they just saw Halloween 1 as a standalone movie and they didn't want to, you know, fuck with it and the lore, but it just ended up being a money grab. It seems like they both just wanted points.
Oh, there's 12.
They wanted points on the end for producing, but they wanted to.
Well, that's why they like rebooted it recently, right? With like the intention that this is what they envisioned it would be, this passage of time or whatever.
Yeah, I guess. I mean, this is kind of, yeah, their real vision, saying all those ones we wrote before.
No, they don't count. We didn't mean it. I mean, the money we took and we kept it, but, you know, we didn't like them.
Speaking of Halloween over the decades, Jamie Lee Curtis has played Laurie Strode in six different decades.
Yeah.
That seems crazy, right?
Yeah, that's pretty crazy. Yeah. I mean, she was very young in the first one. Was she like 18 or she was 20s, right? She's very young.
Well, I also think, though, that like that one was 78.
Yeah, 78.
And then the second one was 81. So it was like hugging like the same. Like,
true. And same with like 2021. Like, it's six decades, but it's like kind of sandwiched, like you're saying. Yeah.
Speaking of Jamie Lee Curtis, and we mentioned Christopher Guest before, Leo Rossi, who played Bud, is actually the person that introduced the two, and they would later become married. They knew each other through a mutual celebrity softball league, Bud and Christopher Guest.
There you go.
Really?
I guess so.
Huh. Halloween 2 was originally supposed to take place in a high-rise apartment building. Later in script meetings, the setting was changed to Haddonfield Hospital, which I think probably just
I like that so much better. Yeah.
The hospital is way scarier. And I mean, why were we in the apartment buildings? Laurie needs medical attention.
And does Haddonfield have high rises?
It doesn't seem like they should.
It doesn't feel like they would.
One high rise.
This is a famous quote, so this is a little funny, but in the original movie, Dr. Loomis fires six shots from the revolver. In this movie, during the replay, we hear seven shots. And
I also feel like he's spitting out a lot of different numbers, too.
And I believe he has a six-shooter revolver, right? So that's not even possible.
One
but
plus two.
Also,
plus one,
just throw away, but you can clearly see in this version, the landscape of the house had changed since the shoot of the first one. So that balcony was formerly in the backyard. In this movie, he falls in the front yard. And also in the fall scene, you can clearly see him walking up a ramp instead of like flipping over it backwards.
Oh, I was curious. Maybe you can answer this. So it's not the same. It isn't the same.
It's most of the same
snippet of the film.
It's most of the same stock footage, but they did do some reshoots because, I mean, just the layout of the start of two is different from one. So they, I think, just redid the fall.
Yeah.
A little bit of a negative one here. Pamela Susan Shoup has been very public over the years in interviews that she did not want to do the nude scene, but her agent pushed her into it at the time. And also, she was told it would be a close set, and there were at least 19 people, mostly men on set, standing around staring at her. And they also pressured her into going full nude and not having, like, you know, the merkins and stuff. But she, Deborah Hill, stepped up and told her that she didn't have to do that.
Atta girl, Deborah.
Atta way, Deb.
There you go, Deb.
Yeah, that's all I had for facts, but there were quite a few. I mean, any long series like this, any major director, there's going to be fun lore and rumor and history and stuff. So if there's anything major we're missing in here, make sure you hit us up on social media. But we're going to move it on to questions.
Comments.
Animosities.
Questions. Comments.
QCA. I mean, we've already mentioned a bunch, but I do love that it's just a straight continuation off one.
Yeah, it's almost like a last week on Halloween 1.
Mm-hmm. One is just such a classic standalone film.
I kind of like movies that do that.
No, I love it. I mean, I'm just going to jump to it now. How do we feel about the Laurie sister, Michael Myers thing being introduced into this movie?
Wait.
So, like, it's so hard to remember that it's not introduced in the first one. I guess it gives the character purpose to, like, I'm after her.
Keep going. I mean,
wait, sorry, explain that.
Lori's supposed to be Michael Myers' sister, and we find out in this one that she was adopted.
She was like the baby at the beginning. Maybe referenced in the movie. Do they say she's adopted in this one?
Yeah, they do. Yeah, they mention it. There's like a weird cutscene where you see her and young Michael Myers in the hospital, and they make eye contact. I mean, I kind of like it for the lore. It gives sense, but that's kind of what makes the first movie so scary, is it's just the boogeyman. He's just evil. He's just
I think the boogeyman pure evil is better, but for continuation of the series, it kind of gives
some motivation.
Her character purpose to show up again and again.
I mean, I guess my question could be, couldn't it be enough that, like, oh, she got away, I want to finish the job kind of thing, you know? Does he need...
So I have a big question about that. If he is just truly after her, it seems like... In this movie, that's the motivation, and then all the movies following, right? Mm-hmm. Why don't people just let her get killed and see what happens?
I think he just keeps...
That's all he wanted.
I don't think that's...
If he just gets her, does he just keep killing? Oh, or is like, well, that's that.
I'm so happy this is over.
This has been a nightmare. That's my big thing. Like, the interesting thing is, I don't think people are like...
Just like
I'll just go.
They're not like throwing themselves in to save like her. They're just around where she is, and you get murdered.
That's true.
It's like carnage. It's like nobody's like, we got to save Lori.
I will say in 4 and 5, I went on a tangent. I watched Halloween 2, and then that same night I was like, fuck it, let's just see where this goes. And I got 2 more deep. In 4, they claim that Lori's dead, and that's how they introduce like her child, that one that ends up getting possessed by Michael Myers. So.
It seems like
I can't remember how they bring her character back, but she's like missing and dead in 4.
They decide to do whatever they want for the movie that they're making.
You skipped 3 then, didn't you?
Again, yes, I did.
3 doesn't exist.
That doesn't have anything to do
with Michael Myers. Michael Myers skipped number 3 as well. He didn't make it to there.
So I do have just one big animosity, and I think I had it in the first movie, and I definitely have it in the further movies going on. Dr. Loomis is too fucking morbid and cryptic. People are like, what's going on here? And he's just like, you'll never know. It's pure evil. Yeah, they're like, tell us about the perp. What does he look like? What's his...
I need a couple more words from you, buddy. A lot less gun waving and a little more
sense. It'll even be like...
black like a doll's eye.
It'll even be like to the point where they're like, what should we do? And he's like, there's nothing you can do. Like, no, get a blockade.
No, Loomis.
Yeah, we need answers.
Listen, you crazy fuck.
And then they're always
like... So Loomis obviously feels guilty about the situation because it's kind of...
This is your fault. You let him out. I didn't let them out. I said he should be locked up. That's his thing. That's all he ever says.
Yeah.
He just says, it's not my fault. There's nothing you can do.
He's a red flag left and right. He's with the cops all the time. They might just want to be like, let's take care of this Loomis guy. Let's get him in.
They have the right idea at the end. We're like, hey, someone
called a marshal.
Yeah, someone up top called, and they need to get you out of here. You're causing problems.
I mean, he's dealing with a lot, and it's a busy night, but somebody should have grabbed his gun and kind of, like, you know, moved him aside. It's like, we got it from here, old-timer.
come here.
We got it from here, Doc. Call him a Doc in a real condescending way. That's what I would do. It's like, we got it, but don't worry about it. Okay, that's what I would do.
Also, just question, are we guessing that those cops just, like, chalked up that guy they hit and burned up against the van as another Michael Myers death? Oh, and then Michael Myers stole a cop car, and he... He pinned a lookalike. He was real pissed about the lookalike, and
actually,
it was Ben Tramer, the kid that that was supposed to go on like that Linda, I think, or Annie called.
Yeah, I had a date with
him. It sucks. But sucks that fucking Ben Tramer went to the same store, bought a Michael Myers costume.
Well, no,
before a Michael's Myers costume,
he kind of had it coming. You can't buy the mask of a masked slayer from like. Oh, I guess it hadn't happened yet. Sorry,
at that point,
it hadn't happened.
The real thing is his friends came up to the cops.
He's
like,
real drunk.
Our friend. He's real drunk. And that's what happens when you drink, kids. You're going to get hit by a car and blow up.
Okay, so I do have to say, though, like,
that cop was flying down that residential street.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. I don't think he meant to pin that guy. Because, like, whether or not he was there, he would have crashed into that news van at 70 miles per hour.
The cop died, too? Or did
he rolls out. You see the door open as the fire starts. And he's like, oh, what happened?
And then they're like, fuck, that like they dip off too. They leave that squad car just burning in the middle of whatever street that is.
There's a lot going on.
I haven't seen something escalate that quickly since Meet Joe Black. You guys remember that one?
Yes, I do.
Jesus Christ.
What mask? Like, it's just a mask that's just down at the mask
store. I guess
store.
It was just a scary mask.
Five and dime, you can just get it.
Would you have liked to see a scene where it was a Captain Kirk mask and then Michael Myers turned it inside out and was like, and spray painted it white?
No, it's better the lore of it.
What are the odds that this Ben Tramer kid, this drunk Ben Tramer kid, finds the exact, like, didn't Michael steal, like, a tow truck, worker's outfit? Like, what are the odds?
Not only is he wearing the mask, he's like, do you know what goes with this mask? A jumper, a onesie. Some sort of utility uniform.
You nailed it.
Yeah, it really does look great together.
Too bad, Ben.
I feel like even Jason at some point, they all just wear utility uniform, just one piece, you know, gray.
Easy cleanup.
I wouldn't necessarily chalk that up to Michael Myers, although it wouldn't be a bad thing. I might throw that one on Loomis if I was a cop. So I'd be like, Loomis was really shooting into the...
At kids, towards...
Just everywhere, just shooting everywhere. Yeah, it's like,
they're very trigger happy. It gets worse in 4. Yeah. They start just firing into bushes unannounced.
What is this, Pottersville?
So I think we just have to mention that this might be the most irresponsible hospital staff in history. Granted, they have...
What staff?
True.
I'm not even sure that it is a real hospital and not like a porn set.
Yeah. It is like a skeleton crew. There's like four people there.
Does anyone work there?
We have like, what, two main nurses, like their shift lead, two EMTs,
a drunk doc.
And a security guard and a drunk doc that we really don't even see. At some point, he has a knife in him.
Did that doc get killed by Michael Myers or did just something else happen?
Accident.
I don't know if we could...
Just accident.
Yeah, just
incidental.
Just slipped.
Do you want to know what my biggest complaints is with this hospital? I don't see one piece of monitoring equipment on Lori. I don't think she's hooked up to anything. She's got some bandages on her wrist, and that's it.
I mean,
that's as much hospital.
I have that written down as well. She's not hooked up to an IV. Like, when they find that she doesn't have a pulse, how long was she there without a pulse?
I mean, I'd say the worst thing for Lori's treatment is the fact that this EMT will just not leave her alone when she just had a crazy traumatic experience. Bad time to hit on somebody.
I don't know if it was at the beginning. Oh, yeah. Jimmy's kidding. I wanted to talk about. That guy, I don't miss the mark, Jimmy, but going for
I get the prototype they're trying to do. He should have been like a knight in shining armor kind of, but like he comes off creepy.
He was like a creep in shining armor is all
in
he
fact,
was.
Nothing but bad. Even at the end, he just passes out and is like, we're out here, honk the horn. Like he does nothing but make things worse.
He lived though. He lived to tell the tale,
which begs to differ. Should you just play dead? I mean, he might not even remember. He's like, I've killed a lot of people tonight. I don't know. He has blood everywhere. He slipped in that blood.
Yeah, I mean, it might be like dealing with a bear, right? You're supposed to play dead. What are you supposed to play dead with?
If it's T-Rex. Black, attack. If it's brown, get down. If it's white, you're dead. I believe is the
Ooh. I just have it's white, just no open casket.
Yeah,
that's it. But you found yourself to the white one, so you shouldn't be there anyway, right? They're disappearing. So
are there? There's definitely babies in this hospital. Are there any other patients?
Oh, there's two babies. No, but I mean we have more budget, but not for patients.
Not a single we have one.
And scarily dark. I get that there's three people there, but like keep some hallway lights on. That can't be protocol.
Yeah, Jordan's point, just a stunning, not like just no amount of equipment. No equipment. No,
I swear to God, I don't remember if it's at the beginning of the movie or at the end, but they usher Lori into an ambulance, but they don't put her on a stretcher or anything. They just like put her in the back. I'm like, what is going on?
These guys like try a little.
And that might be accurate. Let us know. Like, it's not accurate to the way we grew up or it's been depicted on TV and movies. So. Let us know if this is what like a hospital's like in 1978.
Is struggling.
You know what happened the next day? They're like, "Oh, only six dead. Not a bad night.
Not a bad night in Haddonfield.
Not a bad night."
All the babies still have all the babies. Now,
Jordan, they love to tell you that Haddonfield used to be a quiet town. Nothing used to happen till 16 years ago.
Yeah, I would say until last night, the night before, or the same night when Loomis got there.
Yeah,
shit started going down.
Before that, it was just one child murder. That ain't too bad.
If you were riding around in the cop cars with Loomis, would you be like, "How many times did you shoot him?" Shut up, Doc. Like I'd be diminishing him. Like the
yeah, Doc. Yeah, you got him. Yeah,
and you should not have this gun, Dr. Loomis. This is not protocol. Also, just from a scale. Okay.
Why do you have a gun?
Because he's been looking at the eye of pure evil for 16 years. Just a scary movie comment quick. The scene where there's that cat like scare jump with the security guard is maybe one of the least effective uses of that device I've ever seen. It's not, I mean, it's just like, it's almost comical, but it's not. Yeah. I don't know. Just,
but it was it accompanied with some synthesizer?
Oh, I'm sure. Like a meow.
They went heavy on the synth.
That's where the budget went.
Like even more so.
When I was younger, the first time I saw this, like I couldn't tell the difference between the Michael Myers, but I will say watching it this time, I did notice his movements were quite a bit different and I'd noticed the shortness. This is the first time I've ever really caught it.
That's a good point. Fall, yeah, he's stockier, isn't he?
He moves a little swifter, right?
It's the movements mostly for me.
It didn't take me out of it.
No.
It doesn't.
No. It's still my favorite one after one, but...
My favorite parts of this was when you get to see Michael Myers in the like the security footage, just kind of wandering around. And when he bumps into someone, he'll murder him. He's walking through those halls all the fucking time.
Hey, he's not really keeping low. It's just that I mean, the security guard dies pretty quick, and after that, I mean, you know, there's no one to report.
I don't want to be rude, but when I saw that the security guard was overweight, you're like, God Almighty, you got no chance, bud.
You got no chance.
You can't be overweight in a horror movie.
It's automatically a countdown dead. Now.
Mm-hmm. They did have a lot of chances to run into town and tell somebody. It seems like the no one could just walk on foot. The cars were a pretty big deterrent, it seems. Those flat tires. Nothing could be done after that.
I feel like they were in town. Just keep
like
moving.
Walk two blocks.
The hospital's in town.
Yeah, there's going to be a house nearby, a working phone.
It might be on an end of town, you know, but like keep it moving, guys.
In the first movie, they refer to him, especially online, not so much in the movie, like as the Shape.
Mm-hmm.
I'm almost surprised that knowing John Carpenter and his titles of his movies, The Fog, the this, the that, the thing,
it wasn't
that they didn't
the
call
shape.
Just The Shape. I like Halloween better, I think, but I'm surprised that he didn't go that route for some reason.
I vaguely remember that there were other working titles for it, but I think they were more like...
What would you like better? Do you like Halloween?
Kind of, yeah. Yeah,
I think I do too.
For the novelty of it and why I believe this is a Halloween movie, obviously more than other horror movies, because it's on fucking Halloween and I like that.
Yeah.
It does it for me, just personally.
If this wasn't taken on Halloween, if this wasn't set place or taking place on Halloween and they called it The Shape, it would just be another like slasher.
True.
To me, it would, yeah. I agree.
Hey, just an actual question. Well, actually, real first, animosity. Michael Myers didn't have enough time to compromise all those cars. He was already inside. Like, there was like a... We're saying that he did that.
Also, do we got to go back? He doesn't fucking know how to do that. He's been institutionalized for 20 years.
He was a child. Like, he doesn't know anything.
Pretty good driver. I mean, obvious, great driver in the first one. We have not seen that depicted here. But like, sorry, camera, I cut you off because I've got a real big question coming up after this. So a lot of, I'd say over half the deaths are off screen, which I don't love, right? It's kind of fun to like, oh, look at all these dead bodies everywhere. But the one specifically that pissed me off is the head nurse. Yeah. Michael Myers doesn't know how to put in an IV, for fuck's sake. Like, if it was in the middle of her head, maybe, but it was in her arm, in the veins. I don't buy it.
Yeah, that's a little too elaborate. It should have just been stabby, stabby, move on. That's it. That's his style. Well, yeah. That's his MO.
I did, though, as a result of that, Jimmy slipped on her, you know, full body, like, full
room. Let me stop you there. Animosity. You don't walk into a room and not notice that, oh, the ground ahead of me is covered in blood. I'm walking towards it and I can clearly.
Jimmy does because he's got puppy love going on, Cameron.
That's true.
He's like, I got to get back to my love, the sedated one. Although I don't think she's sedated because that means somebody gave her.
Oh, I do actually have a question about that. But I guess in Jimmy's defense, he does work in the darkest hospital in the country. So, I mean,
pretty dark hard hospital. To see.
Unverified about that. I'm pretty sure I read that was just a one take when he slipped and fell on the. In the blood.
Oh yeah, it was actually him. He did it himself. Did his own stunt.
I did say like in the moment I was like fucking Jimmy. Didn't like need when Dick it happened. Warlock. Sorry, Dick Warlock.
Now Michael Myers walks slow. Do you think he would walk faster if he could see out of that damn mask?
Yeah, it's tough seeing those eye holes are pretty small.
I think the only reason he goes at a slow state is he doesn't want to look a fool.
So I've often thought that that's why, I guess it's not as much this one, but it's Freddy, that he breathes so heavy is because he's wearing a mask.
Yeah.
And it just, no, he breathes heavy as shit in this though, right?
I can't remember. We definitely get the ending of Halloween 1 when we just hear the, but I actually feel like we don't have it as much in this one. Because that was,
yeah,
really,
that's true.
We don't really see a POV in this one, do we?
The beginning of the movie, we do.
A little bit when he kills like,
oh, yeah, the older lady.
Yeah,
yeah,
the older couple. Like, there's a little more that I feel like that's the majority of it, though.
Best death. I think we all probably agree the hot tub one.
Yeah, but I do have an animosity.
That his
with that.
Hand would be scalded, but from dunking her under.
Yeah, that's.
You got to hold her under from the back. He's pure evil, and we do find that at the end of the movie, he's full on caught on fire and apparently lives. But
yeah, but his eyes bleed, so I'm guessing that his hands would get all fucked up.
Yeah, that's a pretty big animosity.
Right before
but a
that,
fun
like
one.
When,
that's a fun one for him.
When Karen's just like suckling on his fingers.
Oh, I thought that too. That is a filthy
gross,
finger to
like,
be.
Gross.
She's like, oh, you taste of copper and dirt.
Yeah, Bud probably at least had some like clean fingers. Michael Myers did not have clean appendages.
I mean, you'd assume he's an
EMT.
He's got to wash his hands a lot, I imagine.
Michael Myers didn't have clean fingers October 30th. You know what I mean? Like,
no.
he's always been gross. Like, they've never those
been
are bad
clean.
Fingers to lick on.
Like
that should have been a wreck.
She's going to have, like, long nails, too. And
yeah.
I don't think she deserves to die, but, you know, there were
some
warning
signs.
One of my favorite parts about that scene is, like, let's do it here because then we can hear people coming. And then they go, like, we can have sex here and we'll hear anybody come and then we can stop. I'm, like, in the loudest room.
Yeah.
In a hospital, like there's a boiler going on, and like this whole thing. I'm like, what the fuck are you guys gonna
also,
hear?
Also, I keep bringing up unverified about that. The hot tub was actually, I guess, like freezing cold.
Well, that's just a
in real
shame. That sucks. That sucks.
Oh, also, just animosity. Crazy lead up to like get undressed, get the water hot for like 3 seconds of kissing to be like, we should get back to work. You guys just should have boned quick in the broom closet. That was so much setup and so much work.
I will say this. I'm not defending like sex at work or whatever. I am saying that at sometimes I get into hot tub with all the best intentions. Like, I'm going to really enjoy this. But then you get in there, you're like, it's just
too
hot.
It's very hot.
I'm not enjoying this. I got to get out of here. I'm just sweating my ass off. So, yeah.
Plus side for the patient.
You try sitting on the side for a little bit and then it's still.
Didn't cool off enough.
Yeah. No.
Plus side for the patients, though, there's not any jizz in that hot tub now. So, pretty cool for the next person that uses it. I mean,
there's definitely jizz in that hot tub.
Well, now
maybe not from like not
well,
tonight.
Now there's parts
but for
of that
sure.
nurse's face in there, so I guess you're probably going to get a full empty and clean anyway.
Yeah. I mean, I'm guessing that they're. Man, that's gonna be a tough hospital to clean. Somebody's job got harder the next day. Holy
boy.
Shit, that's
gonna
suck.
Oh no!
Oh boy!
I knew I should have called.
Actual question about Lori. So that moment when she's like comatose, is that actually from like a drug reaction, or for some reason does she have like a sixth sense that Michael Myers is coming and she's like doing a fake out to get away?
I couldn't tell what that was. Like,
I could see it being, it might be just bad hospital workers. Like, oh shit, how many CCs did you give her?
I'm guessing this sedated her because she's had such like a rough night, but she might just be out of it anyway, right?
She's in a weird shock state, but like clearly in the next scene when she's running away, she's acting like she's doped up and she's struggling. So I can't tell if it was.
Who knows what that doctor gave her? Halloween night or not, that guy's coming in a little blitzed.
A little drunk. Yeah.
No, but I was just a little confused about that. If it was an act, if she could feel him coming, if there was a connection thing.
I didn't gather that. If I just assumed she was doped up.
It just cuts to like Pick a Destiny, where for her eyes, she's going down the Strawberry River, man. She's just running through the halls. He has no idea Michael Myers is back.
Jesus, Trevor.
Animosity. I don't know how elevator doors were back then.
Oh.
But nowadays, I mean, if you slip that hand in there, no matter how many times you press the closed door, you don't want to see that guy coming. Like
Michael Myers.
Slip that hand in there, it's opening up. He's getting in.
By getting that blade in there, he caught up to her and murdered her. It should have reopened. We're talking about the scene where Lori tries to hide in the elevator, and Michael Myers, classically walking slow, sticks a knife in there, and the elevator still shuts. I haven't seen anything so egregious.
Just imagine
since,
like Lori, hold it. Oh, sorry, Mike.
I haven't seen anything so egregious since T2 when he's prying it open, and then it magically just shuts again when they're like, oh, he's out of there.
I mean, yeah, but he gets to the top.
I do like the second one. There's some lull in the hospital, though.
Yeah, I get that.
Around like the security guard's death, I feel like maybe it is just the darkness and the emptiness of it all. Like it doesn't. I don't know.
Yeah, I guess from an overall like it doesn't move. I think the biggest thing is the lull is that we don't really follow Lori around until.
Yeah. Like mid
the last
yeah,
third of the movie,
through,
yeah.
Maybe that's it.
There isn't really.
I did think that a lot because she's really
Loomis, kind of.
Yeah, and we could follow him around all night, and he'd get into shenanigans and kill a couple other kids. So I actually have a question. That there's no way that Loomis could survive that blast, but they explain it somehow.
Yeah, in four, both of them are alive. He has a slight face burn that through the movie they. Clearly changed the prosthetic to be less gross. And Michael Myers is just...
he gets a
pass. He has slightly burned hands that we see.
That might be from the hot tub.
True. Well,
do we see Loomis after the explosion in this movie?
Nope. No. Pretty much both of them are completely engulfed in a room full of flame. Michael Myers' face and eyes are melting. He's also been shot in the face twice, shot six times, stabbed multiple times, and stabbed in the eye with a...
That did slow him down a little bit, though. He's like,
what,
oh,
the fire?
Oh, Jesus. Getting shot in the face.
Four is pretty aggravating, though, just how it starts off with, like, Michael Myers on a stretcher, not tied down because he hasn't moved since the fire. That's how that starts. But he's barely burned, and Dr. Loomis has a bit of a scar here on his like left eye. They don't really explain it, though. It's bad. They should have moved on from there if they were going
to. He was shot way more than six, seven times. Like
he was shot twice in the face.
And then when the blonde cop dies or whatever cop that like, no, it's not it's the marshal. Sorry. I feel like they shoot him a bunch there too.
Shit, in four he takes like a full like firing range from like a bunch of cops in a ditch and apparently comes back, but this would have ended nicely as another conclusion if we stopped here. But that's part of what makes both these movies good. They just seem kind of like a good one-off still. Granted, this just seems like the continuation, but like
well, this,
they wrap
yeah,
up
this
nicely.
One feels like it did conclude itself, you know, Mr. Sandman at the end. Let it play out. Oh, this is, I guess, related to the movie, but when the blonde cop gets to tell the sheriff's like, hey, your daughter's dead, you're going to take off the night.
This is just a weird moment for us all to see. That's all. I don't know. That's it.
Oh, I do. Just for us all to see. Apart from, like, obviously the crazy, they're on fire and should have died at the end, Loomis and Michael Myers. When Lori is in the parking lot and she sees Loomis and the cop coming in, and she does the scream, the movie Scream thing of just crawling and going like, ah, ah, and not just screaming. Oh, that's so aggravating. Especially that she does scream right after they get inside. Yeah, like, yeah.
It's in that specific moment where I'm like, there's so many places to not be where Michael Myers is. Just be any of those places. You know what I mean? Just keep moving or doing
you
something.
You don't have, it's like a zombie. If you just jog, you're fine.
Oh, he's still coming.
As
still
we learned from the elevator,
I'll just keep moving.
If there was a moment where he would have sped up, it was the elevator. And we learned there, he ain't gonna do it. So you're totally fine.
I said it jokingly at the beginning, but after Mike gets his eyes shot, he's just kind of swinging with comical sound effects for the knife going through.
That scene is just funnier than it should be of him just flailing around.
I think I did chuckle out loud, if not laugh, but I think he would have been in there all night if he just shut the door.
Lori and Loomis are kind of just making eye contact, like, let's just kind of hug the walls.
Let's get out of here. Oh, you know what, Jordan? Yeah, that's where all the hospital equipment was. It was all just in that one room, all that flammable stuff.
All the oxygen. Oh, yeah, all the...
trickle down, they were using a closed down hospital, so I'm guessing their lack of equipment was probably just because of that. It was no longer functioning.
Also, Loomis gave her like 2 seconds to get out of there. Yeah. And then he's like, blue. You know, he's dealing with stuff. It's a busy night.
If you're wondering, does he sacrifice himself to Michael Myers in 4 and 5? Yeah. It's not just 2. He has a death wish. There's like 3 times he's like, take me, Michael, take me. And he doesn't.
Oh, that's a guy who doesn't want to go to work the next day. He's like, yeah, it's going to be a sticky
Jordan,
day tomorrow.
I'm getting a strong vibe from 4. He doesn't work for the hospital anymore, man. I think he's just following this body around, the shadow around.
I'm getting a strong vibe from 2 that he won't be working the next, yeah. You know, like, that's it. Take me now, Michael. We'll go off together.
We're talking Halloween 2, but because I did marathon him, they jumped the shark so quick of how pure evil means he is invincible. And Dr. Loomis just gets unbelievably cryptic after, I mean, he already is in this one, but it gets a little unbearable in 4 and 5.
The first one, they didn't make it seem like he was indestructible. This one, we assumed he died too, I think, if it was just a standalone movie, right?
I would have thought so.
I mean, he really went down
swinging,
not quietly,
quite literally.
Oh, shit. I mean, goddamn, those sound effects. The sound effects are egregious in this movie. I guess just lastly, like, Jimmy sucks so much.
Jimmy does suck.
I can't believe he didn't die. He deserved to die for just being a goon. But he made it, you know?
I think overall, though, I could speak for us all in saying we do like this one a lot. I mean, it's a great continuation of 1. That's it.
Yeah.
With that, do you guys want to move it on to recasting? Recasting. I'd say, I mean, the big ones are Lori, Loomis, Jimmy, and maybe Bud. I just said cops and nurses and listed some people down. Did you guys have any other specific people you wanted to do before that?
Yeah, I'm going to do Mr. Garrett, the security guard. Just Keen Bean.
I didn't even think about him.
Yeah, I knew no one else, but I just want Keen Bean in there.
Yeah, I'm fine with that. From Richie Rich.
Yeah. Michael McShane or something.
Let's start with the nurses. Just because they're somewhat known names and it's kind of better for horror movies, I feel like. I just wrote down some people I thought could have been in this. Brie Larson, Alicia Silverstone, and Amanda Crew. She's from Silicon Valley and Sex Drive. I don't know. I don't feel great about any of those, but I just thought about throwing them in.
For like the Karen, the main nurse, like the one who dies, Bud.
That's my Amanda Crew.
Maureen McCormick, Marsha Brady.
Okay. I like that. Jordan, do you have any of the nurses?
Nope.
Do we want to move on to the cops? I had one cop in particular. It's the guy that talked like this, Hunt, the blonde. I did Ted Levine. He's from Silence of the Lambs. He's Buffalo Bill.
Sure.
It puts the lotion on. They kind of look alike too, honestly. I'm not if I didn't just see the name out loud, I'm not sure it's not him.
I would do the guy that's from Coach. He's the MOON guy. And
that spells Moon. Okay, from The Stand. Yeah. I get who you're talking about. From The Stand. I believe he's
he has a name, but I don't know.
Speaking of I did Coach Yost, Will Patton.
Ooh.
You love yourself some Coach Yost. I'm fine with that too, though.
I do.
Some other cops I threw out there, John Krasinski.
Did you like a specific bracket?
Not just any of the cops, because they all seem just like kind of goober 70s haired people. And then Dennis Quaid. Yeah, Dennis Quaid feels right in there. I don't hate that.
He can be goobery.
That's another thing I really hated about Jimmy. He definitely had a perm. You fucking dipshit. There's no, it's just like, you know, like Jimmy, we get it. It's cool. It's popular, but you're not pulling it off.
Do you have any other side characters other than like some of these main ones?
The returning nurse from the first one, mm-hmm. Marion. I did Carrie Fisher.
Yeah, I'm glad with that.
Sure.
Let's move it on to Bud, the funny EMT who's smoking reefer in the beginning. I just went full bore with it. I said, just make it Danny McBride.
Oh my god!
I was not there.
This is a little, bit looks based. I did Alan Ruck, Ferris Bueller's Cameron.
Okay. Jordan, do you have anyone for Bud?
Is this Jimmy or Bud?
This is Bud.
Bud.
The older of the two EMTs.
I got Tony Danza vibes.
I get that. He does seem a little older.
You know, Tony Danza graduated from the University of Dubuque?
No.
He was a boxer wrestler there.
Interesting.
In what year?
Yeah. Probably like around this time, like the late 70s.
Huh. Let's move it on to Jimmy. I did Michael Rosenbaum. He was on Smallville. Ooh. He played, you know what I'm talking about. It's somewhat a look-alike, but I feel like he also plays that kind of aloof, gentle character well.
There's a lot of this archetype, this guy, like, there's a lot of guys who look like him.
I'll say mine before yours, Mark, because I think I missed the mark, but I like it.
Mm-hmm.
A young Judge Reinhold.
I was going to say Judge Reinhold, funny enough. Yeah, I love it.
But, like, is it too comedic? Is it too intentional? Or
I put Danny McBride in the movie, Jordan, and wait till you get to four when we get boing and, like, crazy shit in
there.
So
I want Judge Reinhold.
Yeah,
I'm fine with that. Go back to our Santa Claus. Maybe we'll do Mount Fast Times or Richmond
High. I like that. This is kind of a looks-based thing, but Tom Everett Scott, that thing you do. Yeah.
I'm fine with that, too. It's the curly. It's the hair. You're seeing the hair.
Dark, tall, dark, handsome.
With that, let's move it on to Loomis. I don't remember who I did the first time around for Halloween, but I'm just throwing Anthony Hopkins in there.
I may double up on who I did. I can't remember who I did either. So Ben Kingsley.
I like Ben Kingsley.
I like Anthony Hopkins.
So we're all around the same area. RIP, I think he passed away just recently. I'm going Michael Gambon. He plays the most recent Dumbledore, but it's specifically when he misses the mark in book four or in movie four. Did you put your name in the Goblet, Harry? Just that the whole time.
Okay.
Bringing that energy.
I could see that. With that, we are on to Lori. I think I am doubling down from one. I'm doing Sigourney Weaver. I just think they're kind of interchangeable for a lot of reasons.
I'm pretty sure that's who I casted the first time, so I can't do her.
So I think I said that last time as well, or you guys said it. So I actually, you put her in another place, but I put Carrie Fisher down, Mark.
Oh, okay. Yep.
It actually seems like, these are all three very similar types, but yeah, that's what I went.
I did Sally Field.
I like
younger
that.
Younger Sally Field.
Let us know what you thought of our recasting this week, but we're going to move it on to the Holy Trinity. Halloween, it's a spooky movie. We got to bring a little light into this. So it's the Holy Trinity. This is where we stick three character actors of our choosing into the movie. This week, it's going to be Danny DeVito, Nicolas Cage, and Brendan Fraser. Let's obviously start with Danny DeVito. I'm putting him as Loomis. It's just going to be six times. It's Frank Reynolds.
Easy.
I'm actually going to put him as
him waving
Bud.
A gun.
I'm gonna put him as Bud, the like cool hip.
Okay, I don't know EMT. If I want to see the hot tub scene or not. All right.
Oh, I think you do. I think you want to see him smoking a little reefer.
I mean,
telling Jimmy, be like, you got to stay away from the patients, but man, these nurses.
I mean, I think the actual role he would fit in, though, he's the security guard. That's where he would actually fit in this movie.
Yeah, that makes sense.
I like him as Dick Warlock.
The shape. He's the shape.
He's the shape. Just imagine a 4'8" Michael Myers just...
In a weird way, it might be scarier. It might actually be terrifying in a weird way. I'd love to see the security cam footage
him of
Danny
around.
DeVito. Like, I can't fucking see with this thing on.
Him swinging around.
Oh, those are some good ones. With that, let's move it to Nick Cage. That's who I think I'm going to have the shape, but it's a maskless killer. It's just Nick Cage coming at you.
Just Nick Cage.
Yeah. He'll still have the jumpsuit, and he'll still walk slow.
That's pretty frightening.
Right?
Nick Cage.
I'm going to have Nick Cage be the kid that gets hit by the car.
Okay.
So and also then you still, see in the, also still you the shape, like essentially.
Yeah, yeah, but you see in the credits, like, that was Nick Cage? Yeah, but like a young Nick Cage.
I mean, really, I see him maybe like just Nick being Cage. One of the cops or something, you know?
Yeah, I'm going to put him as, probably just probably Brackett or like, yeah.
Hunt, maybe. Hunter. He's like one of the younger ones, right?
He could do Bud as well, I think.
Yeah, he'd be an interesting Bud.
It'd be a weird one.
Which brings us to the phrase, Brendan Fraser. He's Jimmy.
Doing Jimmy.
He's got to be Jimmy.
I mean, he has the body he could play.
The shape.
You know, Michael Myers as well, but yeah, he's Jimmy.
I was thinking that. He has the physique to be Michael Myers. But
he's got the shape to be the shape.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I think so, yeah. He's a big, bulky guy.
Could he be Bud? He's funny in a lot of things. He's goofy.
He could. It'd just
yeah, he could.
A
he
way
could be
different Bud.
He could be Jimmy or Bud.
Trying to think if he could really fit in. He could also just be a cop. Again, kind of a throwaway, but he's Bud. He's Jimmy. Yeah. I think we all agree.
Yep.
I think Nick Cage could be the alcoholic doctor, too.
Yeah, short. Well, that's the Holy Trinity. If you want to hear some other character actors, make sure you write in and give us some suggestions. But thanks for listening to our take on Halloween 2. If you like what you heard, make sure you like and subscribe on your favorite podcast app, rate and review. If you want more content, hit up the whole Majestic Jam Network, Urban Hermit, I'm Not Crazy, and the Highwire Podcast. Until then, check in the next one.
Gosh, I can't.